We did it. It took 11 episodes and 3 years off my life, but we did it. It's done on this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
Them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks.
Wow, what a journey we've been on the last 11 weeks.
Like, we keep forgetting to take selfies, but I'm going to make us take one for this. And you have to put on your face that sums up the attitude you have about off-center.
It's just like, you know those like big TV and movie events where it's like, this will change this show forever. Three friends turn against each other. And like sad cello music plays as we all leave Rose's apartment at different times.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Like you must tune in for the final explosive off-center episode. Revelate. Like maybe one of us is pregnant.
This is like when Henry Blake died.
I don't know.
Fuck, no one watches MASH.
For a minute,
you should have just said Henry from MASH, then I would have got it.
All right.
Have you heard what they did? We've talked about that on the podcast.
I think we have, actually, yeah.
Is that the plane spun out?
Yeah, but it's like they told the car, like they were filming while they told the car, so it's like sincere reactions.
I would have reacted if I was in that cast, going, that's not what's in the script.
It would have been like, where's Hastings' line?
Yeah.
Why Hastings not killed off? Why this scene not about Hastings?
It's just you asking to get killed off so you can get a death scene, not realizing that afterwards you never get to appear on the show again. You show up to work.
Still get royalty.
Man.
You show up to work on Monday, you're like, what are we doing this week? I'm like, Hastings, you asked for this.
That fictional scenario of me doing that, working on a fictional TV show in a job I would never want to have, somehow perfectly sums me up.
Do you not think it happens
at the end of this episode.
Do you not think you'd want to be a sitcom actor?
I don't like acting that much.
You're not a good actor.
Like. I dispute that. I'm not saying I'm a good actor. All right, fine. I'm not saying I'm a good actor. But it's not like I'm the worst actor in
the world. There was one line reading in that sketch you did recently on Instagram that I was like...
With Aaron.
Yeah, where I was like, that's funny. Like, that's good timing.
I'm funny.
Stop making this about...
Stop sounding surprised.
No, it's just like, because acting is different from comedy. Like, I'd understand that reaction if I was
you
like,
could
I
give
saw
it.
You the other day and you did your little joke and it went well. You know, like.
You could give somebody a very good script and they could fuck it up.
Mm. Yeah. I also wrote the script, whatever I can.
I was going to say, you really elevated the shocking material.
How dare you?
That's not nice to Aaron.
No,
very funny.
I did like the script too.
Thank you.
Universal positive feedback.
But I mostly made it for like my emo mates. I was trying to get laid mostly. I don't know what you.
Well, I was talking to Aaron about it, and they said it was like for like 12 people.
Yeah. It was like no one watched it. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like when
I wasn't putting pressure on.
Yeah, like when you launch the sketch and people are just like, "Wow, what's he doing?" It's like he's making something for fun. Like,
yeah, it's like about a topic I think's funny.
It's
with my friend who's
also,
funny.
Do you,
you know how like you just post like a photo of you at the beach? Like it's like that.
It's like that.
Like, it's like also in a global pandemic. Do you think like, you know, like they're going to be like, all right, well, ABC's going to pick this up.
Like, it's also like, it was like, oh, what's something I can
We're
do?
We're bringing at Home Alone together back.
You know, not to make myself out
Home Alone together.
To be,
oh.
Not to paint myself as too much of a hero, but you know.
Home, spelled backwards, is emo.
Oh, it is.
That's true.
Damn. All right, let's call Dan Illich. That's the last thing in the podcast. He's like, cease and desist. And then it just cuts the static feed. It's like, I hear what you've been saying about me, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you are right. What was I saying? Something about...
I wasn't listening at all.
About how I'm a hero. Yeah, I don't want to paint myself out to be too much a hero, but I was like, how can I help, you know, the comedians of Melbourne while they're all locked down? I'll make something on Zoom with someone. So I'm actually kind of like... I guess Superman, you could say.
Speaking of Superman, actually.
Please.
Rose, you're going to...
I have no idea where you're going to go with this.
You're actually going to like it more than what I think you are.
Okay.
I fucking got Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remake.
Right.
On the weekend, and it rocks. Like, it's so good. Like,
yeah.
The reviews I've been seeing are pretty wild.
It's crazy that, like...
What's remade about it, or is it just like a re-release?
It's built
from the ground up.
Yeah, it's the first two games with a complete graphical overhaul, some extra like mission stuff, but like You played Tony Hawk, right?
I played the shit out of number two.
Yeah, so like you'll like know School 2. Like, yeah. And it's exactly the same. It just looks incredible.
It looks like a game made in 2020.
And it's got like a couple of updated skaters. Like Tony Hawk's son is in it.
Are there any more women?
Yeah, they are. There are a couple of... there's a POC woman, I think, in it too.
I was about to say, are there any trans women?
I don't know.
Okay, are there any black trans women?
I don't know what...
Not good enough.
Tony Hawk.
Not good enough.
I don't know what Kareem Campbell's been up to in
but
the
like,
last
what, what year did that game originally come out?
99.
So I was saying to someone the other day, the fact that it had one female skater in it, $4.99, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I remember like... People not wanting to play as always a steamer as well. And
I always played as
Jeff Rowley, but as soon as Rodney Mullen became available, I was a Mullen man.
I think I would have been Alyssa Steamer or Bucky Lasik.
But Tony Hawk 2 invented Creator Skater. I'm doing it with my Jamie.
Oh, that's how I had one. Right now. I wore a Volcom shirt when I created a skater.
Yeah, right now the options are limited, so I'm just wearing like a plain shirt. But I've got sleeve tattoos on both arms.
Hang on,
yeah.
Didn't you create a skater? It was like the Mr. Cool Man or whatever. It was like
dude,
a black
dude man. He was a Rastafarian guy with his shirt off, covered in tattoos.
Not good enough, Jamie. Cancelled. I was thinking about what if like. Because Tony Hawk's like mostly dudes and that's sexist, whatever. What if there was like a Miss Pac-Man Tony Hawk game and it was called Tony Hawk, but Tony Hawk spelled with an I rather than a Y?
And it was like
Tony Hawk's Pro Skatette.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like pink and shit. It's like all pink. Like it's all girly looking, but it's the same game with like a coat of paint.
So instead of the mall being like closed down at night, it's active and there's sales on and
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
There's a basket and streamers on the front of your skateboard.
I'm just imagining someone skating with a little basket. Like, how do you nollie in that game? But yeah, it's crazy because like Tony Hawk has been so bad for so long. Like, so bad. Like, they did Tony Hawk 5, a few years ago?
Yeah, I played Tony Hawk 5 a little bit.
And even that, they were like, we're just going to kind of go back to the original. And
it's
they completely
like it's unplayable.
Yeah, this is like... If you've played Tony Hawk 1 and 2, you'll be fine at this game. That's what I saw.
People were saying it's like completely intuitive and the muscle memory just clicks right back in. And
it's literally exactly the same as a 20-year-old game and it sticks. Like it boggles the mind as how they fucked it up so far as a series when the core gameplay is so fun and addictive. How like it's literally been bad for maybe 15 years.
Man, can you...
Was it just making it convoluted or something?
I don't really know, it's like an effort thing.
I think they were fucking it up like performance-wise. It was running all janky. They just didn't seem to care. I think most people were turning towards skate because of the more like technical controls and stuff.
It also like it was like 5 was like crazy buggy. Like it would crash constantly, which is like a testing issue.
This is sick. And like you can go straight into just one of my things about Tony Hawk. I can't remember if they had it in the original, but I don't think they did. Was just like the fact that you can free skate in places,
without the
2-minute limit.
I remember that.
Yeah, it rocks. Like you can do that right from the ground in Tony Hawk 1-2 remake.
What about? Can you do split screen multiplayer?
It does have multiplayer, but I think it might be online.
Man, fuck! If we could do split screen multiplayer, that would be let's do an episode of the podcast about that.
Is there still an option to play horse on it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't know how
I used to do it. I'd go split screen and you go horse. It was so fun.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. It might be in the multiplayer options. Because I only played it for about an hour, so I did like the hangar and school and then...
Does it have the same soundtrack?
Yeah, but it's got more shit on it
added shit, but yeah, they so like, were like, bragging in the market and they were like, don't worry, we got the soundtrack back.
More Rage Against the Machine, more Power Man 5000.
Oh man, you wouldn't believe. Like, I was skipping some of the new songs to get to fucking Superman. Just like, bum, 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 bum. I was like, this rules. Amy's like, why are you so excited? She was like, it's a ska band. Why are you so excited?
You're like, you wouldn't understand.
I didn't remember that song being on it.
It was like the big one from the first one.
Oh, the first one.
So the second one, the biggest songs for me personally would have been Grill Radio.
Yeah, that was the big one.
And May 16 by Lagwagon.
Mm.
Oh, you know what's not on it, though?
Millen Collins song on it?
Yeah, No Cigar. And I don't know if that's on the remake. Ooh. I haven't heard it yet, at the very least. But
you'll have to do further research.
But Power Man 5000 is on. Oh, yeah. That was my most hated.
That was the opener, wasn't it?
That was my most hated song on that game. I hated it so much.
Man, if you can do this, can you research on yours if you can do split screen? Yeah. If you can, I'm buying it and I'm doing fucking Nights at My House.
Yeah.
Like next
week.
I mean,
above all, it's really fun. I am shit at it now. There is something about it that doesn't quite work as well with the analog stick. You have to go right back to the directional pad.
Yeah.
But just because of the way the buttons work and stuff. But, like, everything's there. Collecting SKATE.
Yeah.
Love it.
That rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking doing little gaps and stuff. And it looks great. Like, it does look really cool.
Man. I did enjoy, the story modes and shit in the Underground games. I'm not going to lie to you about that.
Yeah, but I...
Those games were so silly.
Yeah, well, I know, the second one got a bit too bammy, right? And so it was, we're doing stuff like shopping carts.
I liked it.
Yeah, but then, after that, they got worse and worse.
I only played the first
one. But how does that happen? But I suppose, that's... That's, kind of what happened with How I Met Your Mother. Formula was so great. How did they ruin it over years?
How did it happen? How did it happen to us all? Man, can
well, what happened with We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All?
The formula's still there. It's just back. It's over a rapid period of 2 years.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
I highly recommend getting Tony Hawk.
I think I was going to get it anyway, but I appreciate the rec.
I also just got a review copy of Marvel's Avengers, which is quite
fun. Oh, I'm very interested to know how that's going to be. Let me know.
The campaign I've played so far is really fun.
Really? It looked awful.
Yeah, they've done a good job centering it around Kamala Khan.
Okay.
Who is she's a relatively new character, Rose, called Ms. Marvel.
Cool.
And she's basically
Rose is the jock of the podcast. Yeah, that's so funny.
She's basically a young girl from Iran, Iraq or something.
Sexy.
Right.
And she's a huge Avengers dork. And then she goes to visit them for some competition. And then all hell breaks loose. And you play, so the tutorial mission you play is her just wandering around meeting Captain America fanboying out and stuff or fangirling actually.
I think that's a slow now.
What, fangirl or fanboy?
Yeah, fangirl. Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, so far I've played as Thor, Cap, the Hulk, and that other cunt, Iron Man. And they're all quite fun to play as.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll keep you posted.
From what I've heard, the campaign is only 10 hours, and it's really good, but then they graft, this looter shooter Destiny-style thing on it.
I don't like looter shooter
and that
stuff.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if that will be the case in my playthrough, because I also hate looter shooters.
I have a funny story from a gig last night.
Thanks for having me on Manic Pissy Dreamcast, boys.
We're back!
We're back! Podcast that will never die.
One episode every year.
Did you release it?
We released two episodes. Oh, okay. They were really...
how could it die if it never lived?
No, it lived Phoenix-like. I'd love to check our download stats for it.
Man.
I don't think we ever promoted it.
No, we didn't.
No, you didn't. Except that it was...
It's on the Powerbomb website.
Probably still on there, yeah.
Yeah, no, it still is on there. But we consciously were let's not promote it and see what happens because we're real artists.
So I was at this gig last night.
Yeah.
And Kyle Legacy was the MC. If you don't know him, listener, he's... He's this English dude who's a lovely man, real funny comedian. He's also just the dumbest man you'll ever meet. All the love in the world for him.
He's a white guy with an afro from Liverpool.
There you go. He sounds like
we've got Kyle on the pod.
Fuck anyway, yeah, buddy.
How you going, Kyle?
Suck my dick.
You blazing?
Fuck yeah, buddy.
All right. Oh, man. Man, I should do a podcast with Kyle.
Kyle Legacy is kind of like wacky Hastings.
Oh, there. Oh, we've said this probably on the pod before. It's it's what looks like people who are two very, very dissimilar people is actually two very similar.
The
people.
Way I've,
all
I've
walks
said,
of life.
I've said it before. Is Kyle Legacy is if I never got depression.
if I just
missed that whole part of my life, I'd just be Kyle Legacy. We have the same hair naturally as well. He's got a blonde afro. Anyway, that's not important. What's important story is that he's dumb. Anyway, so we're in the green room before the show, and he's hugging everyone, and everyone's like, Kyle, stop hugging people. What are you doing?
Yeah, he did that to me too.
Luke Joseph Ryan, another comedian, he walks in, and he's saying hi to everyone. He's elbow bumping everyone. Kyle comes in, gives him a big hug, and Luke's like, Kyle, get off me. I was like, ah, you just muck around, buddy.
Why does everyone not want a hug from Papa Legacy?
And like, I have to be like, Kyle, stop.
I'm the king. You should all be kissing my fucking ring.
I'm trying to jump in. They're like, Kyle, stop hugging people. And then as like we're all talking about that, Luke pulls out hand sanitizer from his pocket and starts like, because he's just walked in the room. He's putting his bags down. So he's doing the hand sanitizer thing. As he pulls it out, Kyle, with like, not kidding at all, Kyle just goes, what's that?
I love the...
Like, it's September. He doesn't know what hand sanitizer
is. Yeah, I was just thinking about the spread of, like, if you look at, like, statistics right now, because, like, it's a very politically divisive issue. So there's people, like, there's people who take coronavirus, some would say, like, maybe too seriously, like, refusing to leave their house in places that are allowed open, but, like, treating it with the, like... severity it deserves. There are people who like who know it's dangerous, but like are trying to find a way to live a life. Then there's this crazy contingent of people who believe that the numbers are so low, it's basically the same as the flu. Then there's one man, Kyle Legacy, who does not know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to book an overseas holiday and they're not letting me go.
He was acting as if he didn't know that COVID was happening. On stage, he was like G'ing up the audience before he brought on the first act, who was me, by the way. Sorry, this spot wasn't great. He was G'ing up the audience and he goes, yeah, we've got a great lineup tonight. Few international acts. Like, it was a brag. And it's like, Kyle, everyone in the audience knows that they're stuck in the country. That everyone who's here is just a loser who's stuck in the country.
I actually clowned on Kyle pretty good on Wednesday. I was doing a gig with him as well. And, like, I was running late, so I missed his stuff. But, like, the audience was quite international. And, like, at one point, like, I was doing a joke to people who were talking. So I ended up in an extended riff about, like, just yelling at Kyle for asking people what their jobs were, even though everyone was like, yeah, I lost it 4 months ago. Stop asking me.
Yeah, the what do you do for a living thing has kind of got to go from crowd work at the moment.
It's a fraught issue.
Kyle Legacy is COVID proof. How funny would it be if Kyle Legacy got COVID?
I think he's probably immune to all diseases. Like, he's probably been alive for 400 years.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he got it and he was just like asymptomatic and has no idea.
Yeah, I mean, that could be true of any of us.
Yeah, he probably got it and was like, I was a bit tired recently, but I thought it's because I was going too hard.
Yeah.
Just fucking hungover.
The brain fog that people report from when they get COVID, he's just like, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's just you and fucking Kyle going to the WHO, knocking on the doors, being like, have you done a study about how weed makes you immune to COVID?
There's like plenty of room. I've seen articles. I haven't clicked any of them. Lucky for all of us, I haven't clicked any of them. But yeah, man, it's good to be back gigging again, though.
Do you know anyone that's like a COVID
Not a full truther, no. I did see a guy in a China lied, people died t-shirt in the city the other day, though.
What?
Like, it was like it's a conspiracy thing. Like, China lied, people
died.
Oh,
right. I thought you said China White, who is a villain from Green Arrow.
It's also a type of heroin, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Is that China White or White China?
The White China policy. The one child policy. Something there.
The brain and the gogs are ticking.
Yeah.
It is so funny to have someone just be so unaware of, like, but there are people like around.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I've seen so many strangers, like, not strangers, but like acquaintances go for like the handshake and like you do that thing where they're like offended when you give them that and you're like, yeah, man, like, come on. Like, I suppose that they
this
just
isn't
think
syphilis.
That,
there's no like you don't have to be like I'm clean, brother.
Well, I suppose the thing is you think we're all on the level, I guess. So it's like if one person, like, hey, if I'm out, like, I'm smart enough to fucking be able to shake your hand, and then we sanitize. But it's still like,
yeah, you just shouldn't be shaking hands.
Yeah, I agree.
Sanitize, well, pre-shake.
Kyle was shaking everyone's hands on and off the stage.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was good stuff, but I don't know. I enjoyed myself. What have
it
you got?
Like, you didn't when you talked about your spot.
No. It was actually a good. It was just a fine spot. It was a weird setup. I'm not complaining about the gig. It was fine.
It is a fun Hastings tidbit that, like, if you get a message being like, yeah, "This gig's not run so well," it's like, "Oh, Hastings has probably been on and not done as well as he thinks."
No, I did fine. Like, I absolutely did fine. It was a solid 7 out of 10, 6.5 out of 10 spot. They laughed at the punchlines.
So I've been thinking about the note that you wrote about this episode, Fox Center. Do you want to say what it is?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Should we introduce the podcast first?
Oh, of course.
Welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All. It's a podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. This is the... It's like... I don't know, week 11 or some shit. It's the final week.
I think.
Final
or
week.
Or we could split the episodes and do one each.
No. Look, as much as I enjoy not watching things for the podcast, just... I can't.
I was here on time today. I watched the episodes. Let's talk a little more about video games.
Do you know what?
Yeah, let's do
we
it.
We had never... Before I bring back the original point that I was doing, you know what we've not... We'd never done, really, what? That I did on the Uber over here. We never looked at the shows that came out in the same season as
right.
Off Center.
Great question.
Where? How do you find that information?
I googled shows that were released in 2001, and Wikipedia has a list of everything from the calendar year, but we're going to be looking exclusively at the latter half, which is the American television season.
Yeah.
So, oddly enough...
The first episode... aired on October 14, 2001.
Yeah. So get this. It's a pretty decent year for TV.
Hmm.
Oh, I wonder if that's the same thing I'm thinking of. No, it's not. So it's a pretty decent year. A little show called 24.
Wow.
After 9/11 was set to take the world by storm.
Right.
What if Jack Bauer, but it was Sam Bowering, so it was Jack Bowering.
We've that's got enough. To get the bomb.
Yeah, that's funny. All right.
a little show called The Amazing Race debuted.
Really?
A week before 9/11.
Jesus.
Adult Swim, the famous programming block for Cartoon Network.
Absolutely.
That birthed Rick and Morty, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, C-Lab. Yep. That debuted in September 2, 2001.
I believe my understanding is that Adult Swim invented random.
Yeah, they did. The mentioned in Off Center, The Education of Max Bickford, that debuted a week before Off Center.
Right.
A little show with an Australian actor called Simon Baker called The Guardian.
Oh, I remember well.
Simon Baker would then go on to a long-running career as The Mentalist.
Yeah, oh, he's also in a lot of ads.
Yes.
As The Mentalist.
Star Trek Enterprise debuted, latest in a line of Star Trek shows.
Right.
Then sitcoms, it's hard to thrive in a post-9/11 environment. Well, I fucking hit you with a bloody According to Jim.
Wow.
Which right. I think ran for 10 years.
Did it really?
You had an ace up your sleeve on that one.
Let me double check. No, it went for 7 years.
You just cannot argue with that.
It went for 7 years. A little show.
I didn't know you were packing heat this whole time, dude.
According to Jim Kirk over here.
Hey, it's the same premise. Like, I have a wife that I have no business having.
Yeah.
A little show. This is before superhero movies took off as well. A little show called Smallville with a young Clark Kent,
which we know you fucking loved.
I watched Smallville religiously for maybe six small penis.
Smallville, huge hit.
Smallville.
A little show called another little sitcom that ran for a little bit that aired the week before Off Center was Reba, the show with Reba McEntire.
Oh, right, I remember that. It used to be on like Fox 8 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And then if you're a fucking sporto, a little show called Pardon the Interruption first aired on ESPN. Michael Wilbon,
I know that.
The white
guy,
Tony Kornheiser.
Mm.
Pardon the Interruption is what I say when I come.
But then it doesn't interrupt anything because you just finish.
Yeah.
For those, I'm like, oh, sorry, I guess we're done.
For those looking for good shows, sitcom-wise, The Bernie Mac Show aired in November.
Ooh, hard to
for
argue.
The first time. And also Alias, the first year of Alias aired.
Right.
So a lot of... Oh, and this is a big one. This is probably the biggest one that we have just never drawn a connection to.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Hastings' penis.
A little sitcom.
Hang on. Oh, 2 and a Half Men?
No. I'll let you guess 2 more guesses each. Do you want a hint?
Yes.
No laugh track.
No laugh track.
Scrubs.
Oh, Scrubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scrubs debuted... fucking 12 days before Off Center.
Right, that's 1 point to Hastings. Put it on the board.
And that, yeah. So, like, this was a year... I remember this being, kind of like a dork into TV and stuff. A lot of people were saying, like, the 2001, like, I know it got like beat up with September 11 and stuff, but people were like, this is one of the best years for new, fresh television in years. Not many people mention off-center in the lists. I wish I could find the articles that I was reading at the time. But I'll just have to go into my garage and get all my back issues of Variety out. But yeah, it was like it was a huge year for TV. And a lot of it, there were some shows that ended this year as well. Third Rock from the Sun ended in May that year.
Oh.
That's my bush.
But you know what didn't end? The wonderful career of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
The guy's going places.
Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh, that's baby. Rose, you would have been a fan of Xena, Warrior Princess.
Absolutely.
Jamie, you would have been more of a fan of Hercules, I think.
Consider his ass got.
I gotta start saying Kobe before my riffs.
A little show entering syndication this year, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
All right.
So it was a big year for television. Off-center failed to really make a dent.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why.
Because it was ahead of its time.
Yeah. I think it's the phrase I'd use is too funny.
Well, I was thinking, like, do you think, like...
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
Off-center, if it had come out a year before, might have been more popular. And just a year after might have been more pop. Like, I assume, like, 9/11 is a pretty big thing for sitcoms in New York, in Manhattan.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dealing with things that, like,
yeah,
parents, councils, and all that would already be upset by. And then suddenly there's, like, this overarching, like, unease.
I really think, as a project, we should write an off-center spec script.
Yeah.
And send it, like, just put it on Twitter and just tag the creators and be like, we wrote one.
Hey, John Joe, what do you reckon?
Yeah, can we make this?
Yeah.
Can we get Cho in the house?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cho's the star of this episode.
I don't.
Chow.
Yeah.
John Cho.
Yeah.
John Cho.
The actor. I don't think I mentioned, because we're talking about the last two episodes. Here's a little bit of...
Should I start with... are you going then?
Well, here's a little bit of fun trivia. Mm. In the last episode of Off Center, it begins a cold open Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
All to set up a joke about Chow looking like a leather daddy and then dropping it entirely, it seems.
Yeah, because you floated like a Halloween episode and I was like, oh, that could be fun. Maybe they'll like play with the form a bit and do that thing some of them do where they make spooky stuff happen. Not at all.
I assumed it was because I watched the first 20 seconds. I was like, they're all dressed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it even have like a bit of Halloween music in the background?
And I was sorely disappointed because I fucking love Halloween.
Yeah, well, some of Himyam's best episodes are Halloween party centric. The Slutty Pumpkin. Yeah.
There's good Community ones, isn't there?
Yeah, Community, the one with the zombie breakout.
I think it's called
Advanced Epidemiology or something.
Something like that.
So in this...
I just like skeletons.
Rob Ewan plays a little character called Robin Hood.
Should we get to that after? Because we have to do the one before first.
Oh, this is just like a tiny tidbit. It's not worth discussing that. But
he ended up playing...
He ended up playing Robin Hood on Once Upon a Time for many years in the late 2000s.
Absolutely.
Maybe 2010s.
Yeah. Okay. So the first episode that we watched then was... I've just got an eBay alert. I'm selling some Pokemon cards, if anyone's interested.
Hastings, mobilize your dork friends.
Yeah, I've got what I'm told is quite a rare shadowless Charizard. So,
Avengers, assemble.
But it was episode 6 of season 2. It was called The Guys Guys. Mike's high school friends come to visit and their dorkiness makes Ewan feel overly popular. Meanwhile, Status Quo and Liz have a date. I watched this episode so long ago, I barely remember what happens in it, but I do remember that it was exceptionally messy and very problematic.
It's baffling, this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be the guys, in parentheses, gay people, you know, like...
Was this the one where, like, the two guys ended up making out at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ewan keeps saying they're gay, and they're like, we're not gay, and then they kind of then, are, but they're also not.
But then they said that they weren't,
It's not really clear, and it's also, I guess, they're, like, disabled?
Yeah. There's something, like, reading the synopsis, it's like, you know, people that are, like, think Mike's cool and aren't that cool, it's pretty easy to write people who are like, oh, I've got, like, the original Action Comics. Not make, like, these people, like, drooling, pants-shitting psychopaths who, like, to pass the time, hook up with each other for like no reason. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with people hooking up with each other for no reason. It's,
thank you.
It's sometimes Hastings, you make out with your friends. Yeah, it's fun.
It's Hastings' entire career.
Thank you. Thank you.
The character that just like said movie quotes was
so annoying,
stunningly annoying. Like, I wanted to punch through the screen.
Maybe that's a case of the writers, the casting department doing too good a job because, like,
like it's actually like genuinely because
like he's obviously supposed to be annoying,
but it's also it's probably supposed to be funny.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very much not.
That should be the show. That should be the tagline for the show. This is supposed
it's
to be.
It's probably
funny.
Supposed,
hey, it's
to, be
supposed
funny.
To be funny. All right?
I think the probably after it's probably supposed to be funny. It's hard to tell because it's so not that.
It's like the home. It's like the sitcom equivalent of like homeopathy, where it's like, yeah, it's supposed to work.
Mm. Is that the quackiest of all the quacky things?
No, I think like.
Tarot, oh, like crystal healing or something.
Reading. Yeah, it'd be something like that.
But tarot reading is like, at least like, people don't genuinely think they can tell your future. Like, the kind of point of like tarot reading is like to make you think about your life and whatnot.
Yeah, I suppose
like,
so.
Man, Rory's getting real defensive real quick about tarot reading.
But you know what I mean?
What
like,
about, like divination?
Whereas like homeopathy is just like,
no,
I'll distill it down to water. Like,
oh,
that doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it. But I think it's like, because I think some of it would probably have like, there'd be some stuff that is good in some capacity on just a very like simple nutritional level or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't fucking know.
This one seems like one of the easiest episodes to rewrite. Like if you just change the way, because there was like, it is funny to have people worship Mike as a super cool guy. Like that is not a...
Yeah,
terrible
that's fine.
Sitcom concept.
Which is not beyond the realms of possibility that like people from your like podunk Midwest town or whatever like would think you were cool because you were different back there. And now you're in New York with this like high-flying fucking Lothario.
Sick. Yeah, right? I also like they...
Which is why I don't hang out with any of my high school friends because I want to keep myself humble.
Yeah.
They adore me too much.
Why do you hang out with us then?
Keep me humble.
Because we adore him too much.
Don't wink on pod.
I
can't see the wink,
say, did anybody hear that one eyelid close?
I'm going to edit a wet eyelid in. Don't worry.
Or and the little like ding, like when the
yeah,
shines.
Yeah, the eye twinkle. Yeah. But like the
wet eyelid is what I'd call it if I were a girl and I saw like a hot dude. I'd be like, oh, wet eyelid.
That guy's making my eyelids wet.
That guy's so my eyelids are getting wet.
For the reverse, I forgot. Oh man, she's making my eyes real hard.
Yeah, exactly. My eyeballs are getting boners.
She's easy on the eyes, hard on the penis.
Yeah. What if like
I guarantee you that tweet exists.
What if your nose was
if not,
like,
I'm doing it.
Do you think like your penis is to your nose as your balls are to your eyes?
Wait, what?
Okay.
Hold on.
Do you think that your penis is as to your nose as your testicles are as to your eyeballs? Like, is your nose your dick for your eyes, testicles?
No.
Is there a similar relationship between balls and penises?
Well,
nose
the balls are below
physical
the dick.
Positioning, yeah.
Yeah.
But the balls are below the dick.
So snot's not snored in the eyeballs?
No. Pee is stored in the balls.
The cum of the nose.
Yeah, good stuff.
People have definitely called it dick snot before.
I think it's
Megan. Do you
almost
think
definitely a
that,
punk
like,
band called that.
And it also probably would have been funnier if, like, the guys, they deliberately, like, because they're all good-looking actor types, but, like, they deliberately tried to make them, like, TV ugly.
Yeah.
Which didn't necessarily work because you're just like, what's with these?
Yeah.
Like, they
particularly when you're watching it 20 years later, so you don't know what, like, you don't recognize all the sort of, like, fashion cues instantly. So it's like, I think maybe people just wore their hair that way.
But
I don't know.
It is interesting because, like, you are right, Hastings. Like, their concept was, like, play them like they're mentally disabled.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And it's like, okay, well, what?
It's my bum slipping on your
thing. I thought you were farting.
No, it was just my hand slipping.
It's like, what the fuck is that? Like, wouldn't it have been more funny if they were just, like, relatively normal Midwest guys that just worship Mike?
Yeah.
Because like, that's like for Ewan to get worked up at them being like, because you take them down to the bar, for instance, and they're all quite good with women. And Ewan's like, what the they should be hanging out with me.
Mm.
But instead, they think I'm a lame British guy and Mike is the god.
Mm.
It's like, that's a chance to use Mike well as well. But Mike is weird in this episode as well. where he's just like, my friend should be allowed to kiss. Like,
yeah, I think I had more issue with the B plot of this episode.
The B plot is just unfortunate.
I barely remember how it happened. Care to explain?
How was it even initiated?
Status Quo and Liz agree to go on a date, and they decide very, very quickly that they're better as friends.
Yeah, so it kind of just goes nowhere.
It goes nowhere.
Oh, it was a, like kind of like he kept preparing for sex and like throwing clothes
there
out
was
the window
like,
and stuff.
There was like a hot little makeout session, but then eventually they decided they'd be better as friends, which not only misuses them in one of their only plots that they get to be a main part of this season, but it also
it's
like,
the only intrigue in the entire show. Well, it's like, how's this going
to
all go down?
For some reason, they decided to set up the season one finale as like maybe Liz and Status Quo, only to not address it apart from a couple of jokes.
Yeah.
And then the sixth episode, they do it and it fails. Like, what? At this point, like, if you're Jason George or Lawrence Samuel, you're just like, what the? You're written the scripts every week, like, looking for your highlighted lines.
I mean, maybe
like,
he
what
did.
What the fuck?
Well, here's the thing. It's what I was going to bring. Maybe he did say what the fuck. This is the last time you ever see him.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is the last time you ever. So they never. So this, like, we can say with this episode, that's a wrap on Status.
Oh, right. He wasn't in the last episode.
I don't know if Liz is really in the last episode.
I think it's
either.
Just Mike and Ewan, yeah.
Chow makes appearances, I believe.
He does. You are right. He does.
But Liz wasn't at all either.
I think Lawrence Samuel might be done on this episode too. Fuck, we're going to have to do another episode where we rewatch them.
No.
What if we do more episodes
sometimes
where we rewatch?
You should just be happy not knowing, you know?
So
Before we had iPhones, we just didn't know. And we could just be happy not knowing
this show
whether or not she was in the episode.
I think this
not.
Is the show that finally broke Rose's brain.
Absolutely. I like it. I like this, Rose.
It's kind of fun.
Because I got home last night.
And you were like, fuck, I got
to
work.
She sounds like me. That's how I talk.
I got home last night. Rose stinks. Like, I knew that we were going to have to talk about this tomorrow. And I was just like, I barely remember anything that happened. Because, like, I watched one episode, like, a week ago or more. The other one, even longer than that. It was like, the thought entered my head of like maybe I would have to watch both of them again, and I nearly had a breakdown.
You know what we should have done?
Looks like Rose is the Hastings of this episode.
You know what we should have done, and which we can retroactively do by adding more episodes, is giving every episode a letter grade.
Oh, no.
Because I'd give that first one like a D+.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe just a straight out D, actually. What,
yeah, let's rewatch them all and we'll give them all a rating.
No. The first episode of this bunch. Like,
Fucking F for me.
What do you think?
I'd give it an F for fantastic. F for fantastic. Surely I didn't make that up, right? Some sort of that.
Well, the letter grades would be like A is average, B is bad,
yeah.
C is cool, D is. Doing it for themselves, comma, sisters, which is the feminist episodes. E is everyone's having a good time. F is fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
F+.
I do think, like, so this is the wrap on Status. They never figured out Status.
We can say definitively.
They never figure him out.
Oh, no, no way. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitively, we can say they never figure out Status. Do you think maybe that's bigger of indicative of the broader problem with the show?
Yes.
That they can't write characters and they don't know what to do with characters?
Well, I think it's like these guys, because they wrote American Pie, which is like they grew up in a little suburb, a higher class suburb in Detroit, Michigan. It's probably one of the first black guys they've ever met.
There's not a black person in sight in American
Pie. Yeah, it's like, let alone writing a black guy, like, you know?
Is there a black person inside in any American Pie movie? Like
maybe
even the straight to DVD.
Maybe
ones?
Reunion.
I think maybe like there's black women.
Reunion then.
Like
was there a black guy in the gay bar in the wedding one?
I swear there must be one black guy in the American Pie franchise. Or a black girl. Fuck.
Is someone married to a black guy in Reunion or something? Well, we'll do that.
Reunion seems like the biggest one where they'd be like, we got to address this. Because 2012 as opposed to 2000. But yeah, Hastings is right. It's a wrap on Status. They never figured out what to do. Yeah. And as one, like, I guess, like, subliminal pot shot at the character. Mm. They return him to the status quo by not letting him move on and do something interesting with Liz.
That's true.
Like, yeah, they
that's
literally true. Do that for both of them.
Yeah. I thought you were about to say they keep him in the status quo by not letting him, like, smash. I told you that, by not letting him fuck, dude. Like, by not letting him...
Oh, well,
I genuinely thought that's what you were going to say.
Well, like, as well, like...
I mean, that kind of is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, to be fair to my point, like... Ewan is a fucking ladies' man. Chow gets people and they're supposed to be crazy or whatever. Mike had Liz and then inexplicably does okay with women. Status Quo is an international rapper. I don't think we see him smash once.
He's often got some, and these are not my words, bitches on his...
Yeah, or hoes. It's 2020.
That's true.
Rose, stop quoting me.
But like, he... I think it's implied that he, like, gets a lot of ass.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Yeah, it's implied, but, like, it's... And, like, there are women, like, at his place, but he's never, like, I had sex with her. Or, like, people being like, hey, status, you are really good in bed. Like, it's always like, oh, he's a fucking preening white boy.
Do
like,
do you think the way...
Why we said he's gay and they should just make him a gay man.
Yeah.
Do you think the way that sitcoms like this sort of treat... like getting laid is the ultimate goal for every person and then like the ultimate victory.
Do I think it harmed you mentally?
Yeah, yes. Like, do you think that that is what I was gonna ask. Yeah. Do you think that had long term lasting psychological effects on Andrew Hastings?
Do I think it was ultimately bad for you? Yes. do I think this entire genre of movies was bad for you? Absolutely yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I am working on myself. It's all good.
Like, imagine if you just liked action movies or something.
Man, that'd be nice. I'd just be a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be hanging out with you guys. Like, I'd just be back on the beaches being a cop.
Yeah. You'd have no idea. You'd be the Kyle
I'd
legacy.
I'd still be... Yeah, exactly. I'd be like
police
Kyle.
Officers. You'd be like, what do you mean ACAB?
Yeah, I'd just be like living like... I'd be living in DY somewhere, having a nice life. But no, not to be. Unfortunately, I had to care more about...
Fuck, I can't believe that it's taken us this long to to figure out the psychological ramifications of these movies on one Andrew Hastings.
Oh, it's a...
Which sounds like your solo album once you get back to basics.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. All right, so we got...
Does Chow do anything in this episode? I feel like he just hangs out with the dorks, right? And he kind of... He likes the dorks.
Yeah,
yes. He looks up to he venerates the dorks like they
and
do.
And then
Mike.
He starts to venerate Mike a little bit. And Ewan
venerates my word of the week.
Yeah, and then Ewan kind of is like they're gay, and that's all he gets to do as well.
Yeah, interesting.
And it's but okay Ewan, if they are gay.
Whereas it's 2020. The fact that you even have to clarify that is problematic. All right, you're the cancelled one now.
Ewan does.
I'm gay.
Rose, we're all gay on this podcast.
I'm going to start doing DX.
Ewan does do a little. There's not that there's anything wrong with that in this episode,
course.
Right?
2002.
Did they? I don't know.
I think he might have. I mean, like, Chow doesn't do it. He just calls things gay and people are like...
Hey. Oh, but was it that kind of, like, disclosure thing of just like, if you're gay, you need to say that you are gay?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it's my business to know whether or not you're gay.
It's
the worst impression of you.
I was going to say, it's a...
Oh, I thought you were doing someone else. I thought you were doing, like, Ewan's number one
British
fan.
I was just
about
to say...
the British accent that was in my head.
I really liked that impression, but not as Ewan. I thought you were just doing a British guy. And I was about to be like, that impression's so good that it kind of makes me
hate
you.
Rose, you're great with voices. You should be able to do a Ewan, right? Like, let's try all of us do a Ewan.
Well, what's the sample
sentence? Well, we'll say a line like, Mike... Okay, so it'll be Mike... These ladies were for me.
That's Mike, these ladies were for me. Because he doesn't have a really like...
All right, do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Hello, Mike. These ladies were for me, they were.
Hang on, I'll try
again. Tuppence the pound.
Listen here, Mike. Those ladies down there were for me, right? And only me.
Mike, glad these ladies are only for me.
Ah, we did it. We came full circle.
All right, Mike, these fucker birds are only for me, mate.
I'm Danny Dyer. And these birds are for me.
This is
America's worst sitcoms.
Mike, ladies are for me. That's my attempt at it.
I do say so, Mike, but I think I found that those ladies were for me.
Mike, I might have to nick those ladies from you.
All the bits coming to mind right now are very racist, so I'm going to just opt out.
Were they some sort of black British
guy? Just other races. just other races.
The northern one is so funny to say. It's like, this is, it doesn't relate to anything, but it just made me laugh. It's like, I was talking to Freddie McManus, like friend of the show the other day, about like an old rugby coach that he had from like the north. Just like,
I assume he was the water boy, or just,
which I thought was, I couldn't picture him playing rugby either. But like,
Freddie was the kid boy, but team just, manager.
Yeah. Just this thing.
Okay, fellas, get out there and have a good show. We've
just
got
this thing
hard
that his coach said that just made me laugh. Is like, the difference here, right, between your blokes and them, this bloke on the other side, he made that grass his home.
Well, that,
it's like, what okay. does that even mean?
So do that as Mike. I mean, do that as Ewan.
What, like, oh, like, say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The difference, right, between, like, the other team and us, Mike, is that they made that grass their own.
That's pretty good. That was a good Ewan that time.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best we're going to get it. But there is a little bit of a whine in his voice where he's like, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I refuse to apologize.
What's it? Sean McGuire's going to find you. I'd be like, a bitch.
I feel like it's more like, you know, the women who listen may take
I know.
A bridge with that.
No, it's fine.
Only Sean McGuire. What's the last? So the last episode.
Did we do the last one?
Okay.
The last episode of Opsenna. It was called Little House on the Bowery. Mike and Ewan switch accents.
What a segue into that. Go on, do it. I know you're thinking about it.
What if it was Little House on the Sand Bowery?
Yes, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Like, I was going to do it, but I saw your eyes light up, and I was like, you got to give him it.
Yeah, I'm ashamed that I didn't see that coming. But
yeah, well, I'm pretty transparent.
Really, I thought it was going to be more revolting than that.
It's Halloween!
All right, that's enough.
But what a little nice segue from accents. Mike and you switch accents to test.
Damn it.
Yeah, he's great. To test whether it's the accent that lands women or if it's Ewan. Meanwhile, Chow dates a crazy homeless woman.
Yes. Yes. I had forgot that Chow's. This is Chow's.
I forgot that part too.
This is a. I mean, like, the funny. I mean, is it funny? Who knows? But, like, the throwing it all away because of pineapple on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Decent enough for Chow, like, but that's also a serious rap on Chow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Also, like,
the breakout star of the show.
Some would say a remarkably prescient account of things to come when, like, the internet decided that was like such a thing to care about. Like, when
yeah.
I used to work.
Pineapple on pizza is one of the worst memes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there with like bacon.
It's bacon right up there with bacon. Yeah.
I used to work for a meal kit delivery service who we will call Goodbye Stale. And when.
You're going to have to get the Enigma.
It's a very hard puzzle to figure out.
Is it called a Turing machine? I think it's called a Joseph Turing.
Call the imitation game, man.
Yeah. The guy Benedict Cumberbatch played him.
Yeah, that's how I know. He's imitation man.
The gay one. Come on.
Was he gay in that?
Yeah, he gets chemically castrated for being
gay. Oh,
yeah. What are you talking about?
The imitation game.
The guy who invented the computer.
Right.
It wasn't the computer. He used it to crack codes.
Yeah, but it was kind of what like computers became.
Oh, is that the, what was the, what two
imitation
things,
game.
Was it called?
Yeah, imitation game.
Enigma code.
That's the one.
Yeah. Nazis. But,
yes, I used to work for this company, and when you start, they make you fill like a little questionnaire out, which is like, you know, what's your favorite meal to cook or whatever, because it's food related, like, where would you go on a holiday? And then, like, do you want pineapple on your pizza? Like, everyone has to answer to that.
Yeah.
And it took every bit of strength for me not to write, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, who gives a shit?
Just anytime anyone asks that, just write, just the answer should be, tomatoes are fruit. That's the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Tomatoes are fruit. Like, it doesn't matter. Fuck off. Like, it's like, pineapple and tomatoes are not that different.
Also, I'm more of a barbecue fan myself, but...
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't like pineapple and pizza, but...
Yeah, it's just a different kind of sweet and savory. Anytime you put any kind of tomato sauce or tomato base or even just tomatoes on any savory
like,
dish,
I don't like
you're effectively
seafood
doing
on
the
pizza,
same thing.
So, like, I'm not going to go...
Yeah, exactly. It's just...
I'm going to try to get a sponsorship deal. I like seafood on pizza, and if you go to Bella Bruta in Newtown and get the clam pizza, oh, it's so good.
But my argument with it's just a fruit isn't that people should like it.
You hear that, Bella Bird up?
Chuck us some dollars,
Come
baby.
On.
My point is that it's just another ingredient that should just be judged on its own merits as opposed to its inherently
I think just
whatever.
People showing any amount of passion.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
It
doesn't
just
matter.
Like a thing like, I don't like onions. Fine, move on.
It's completely arbitrary. Oh, it's a completely arbitrary debate.
People
my point.
Are up there too.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing though, apparently.
Yeah. But also, I don't care. But I also think it's because like people are like, you either love it or you hate it. I genuinely don't care. Like,
yeah.
I
don't think you have to love it.
I probably wouldn't pick to put it on.
I love coriander.
I think it's fine.
But like I probably wouldn't pick to put it on, but I don't like I'm not like repulsed by it. Like if it's on there, I'm like, oh fine.
It's incredible like learning when you cook like what a difference fresh herbs end up making.
Totally. Totally.
Like because you think for so long when people are like, all right, you need some coriander and you just go to like the spice
yeah,
and you
yeah,
buy
yeah,
get
yeah.
like the dried
Who
shit.
Who thought that the last episode of Off Center would take us down this road?
Me and Jamie love cooking.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I genuinely do love cooking. And like,
yeah.
at first, like when you get out of maybe like university and move in with like your uptight friend who's jealous of you being a British investment banker and you're trying to cook, like you immediately gravitate towards like dried spices because like
totally.
You remember that from like family cooking and stuff.
Yeah.
And who's got the time? And then like people are like, oh, I use the fresh ones. And then like you buy them. They're always like in big things.
Yeah.
And so you always think, you know, oh, they go off after a couple of days. They're kind of useless. Who gives a shit? What would you add? But like once you buy them, like I buy so many herbs weekly, like fresh herbs.
For sure.
Go and, down like, the local community garden. Used.
Man, you fucking like, I'll never fucking buy jar basil again. Jar pesto now that I like know how to make it.
I once made bruschetta.
I still buy jar pesto.
I once made bruschetta with tomatoes and basil that was grown on my balcony. It was really nice. It was lovely.
It's the same with like coriander, parsley as well are like useful in like almost every dish. Like a sprig of rosemary.
Oh. Nice.
Can fucking sit in like a pot for ages. And
rosemary
just
is about the only thing that I could grow in this house that doesn't fucking die immediately. And even then, we left it there uncared for so long that it died. I killed rosemary.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I killed a thing of basil recently.
It's a bad omen for you.
Well, you know. Call me Rosemary, but I haven't officially changed my name yet.
All right.
And
also,
I'm probably not going to make it Rosemary.
I think you should make it Rosemary.
It
but I get called other things. You just said I've genuinely considered just making it, just for me, making it Rosalita.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah.
I was going to do something about Rosemary, heaven restores you in life.
I was going to say named after the Interpol lyric.
Yeah.
Something about Rosemary. Come in my hair.
Yeah.
There's something about Rosemary. She still produces semen. Not much,
that's
though.
There's something about Rosemary. It's like, I think we know what it is.
Well, because that's what that show, there's something about Miriam. That was
yeah,
a play
yeah,
on
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
That.
Man, we should watch that show next.
Man, I feel like we've talked about that in the past. It's like, it would genuinely be interesting to go back.
I think it would be
fat.
I wonder what she is up to specifically.
Oh, well, she's for sure dead.
I'm going to.
No.
I'm going to look
I'm
it up.
I'm completely guessing. I reckon she's dead.
I'm going to look it up.
She would have died in a cocaine
she was
fire.
She was actually like a model, right?
Yeah. She's gorgeous from what I remember.
I'm going to guess she died in a cocaine factory.
It's like the whole show like was building up to the fact that the last episode was essentially the end scenes from Ace Ventura.
Yeah, basically.
Man.
And they all okay, she was 21 at the time, Mexican model Miriam Rivera. She died.
Hey,
she died last year.
How'd she die?
Oh, hang on.
38.
I mean, obviously, RIP to this real person. That's very tragic.
Her death was classified as... Okay, this is bad. You're going to feel slightly bad. Was classified as suicide by hanging by the police.
But...
She was in a bad way.
But her husband believed she was murdered.
Oh,
right.
My Lord.
Oh, she received a death threat from someone who told her never to come back to Mexico and not prepare a funeral.
Who is the husband? He sounds like a real woke legend.
His name is Daniel Cuervo.
I hope he gets lots of praise for being woke.
Because she went in Big Brother, too.
Yeah, after high ratings for the show, she was cast as a guest on Big Brother Australia 2004. Documentary about
realize,
her life was commissioned but not aired.
I didn't realize she never... I can't remember the show. I didn't realize she never actually had the sex reassignment surgery.
Well, plenty of people don't end up doing it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you say that because you're not trans. Like,
yeah,
I got weird feelings about my once large dick, but I want to get rid of it.
It's worth it for you. That's good to hear.
Anyway, last episode... Mike is British.
Jamie.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Go shoot your shot.
A bit of a preview went out at, what, like 11 p.m. last night on Twitter?
I did have a Ritalin.
cool.
I'm just saying, I was active last night.
Are you not having beers, Andy? Because if you're not, I'll have that.
No, I'm not having. Go ahead. I'm having a clean day. What was I saying? Oh yeah, Jamie, did you ever get pussy because you were British?
We must have talked about this because you would have come over here with some mangled, like half British, half Dutch accent. Right.
I thought you were going to talk about my penis, and I was like, "How do you know it's mangled?"
Well, because you've told us several times, yeah, like that we already knew.
No, God, like, I wish for posterity there was kind of video or audio recordings of what I sounded like when I moved here, because I would not have sounded like I do today, but I would not have sounded British or Dutch. Like, it would have been an international school accent.
Well, two things. One, I was really surprised to hear that you weren't from Australia, which I found out a little while after knowing you.
Yeah, most people get very confused.
Because you just have what sounds like a bog standard Australian accent. But do you think you could replicate it somehow?
Look, honestly, no, because I don't know what I sounded like. It's so funny because my sister who lives here as well and has lived here for the same amount of time as me, which I believe is, yeah, it's 21 years this year.
Right.
She sounds American. And
is she older or younger than you?
No, she's younger than me.
Oh, weird.
Well, that's even weirder, yeah.
But she, because like, I don't know if you have fucked around with many people who went to like international schools.
The girl I'm dating right now grew up in Singapore.
Yeah, especially cool. People who grew up in that area in Asia, like Indonesia, Singapore, Hong Kong. They will always come back here from international schools with a kind of American.
I know.
Well, because the accent that you teach people is in American because they have like, and don't run wild with this hard R's and whatnot. Like,
damn.
Wait, what are you saying about hard R's running wild, Rose?
Oh, that was the best possible execution of that. Anyway.
I'll get you next time, Hastings.
Rose is the crusty old Dane of this podcast.
That might be the ultimate Hastings slam. Anyway, so
he's got
like,
me on a few transphobic ones.
So I genuinely don't know because like it, like how I said, my sister sounds American now. Mm. Like if you watch, we watched a video of her when she was living in Holland, and she sounds like the most English fucking like Cockney. It's incredible.
Right.
Like she's been, like she's literally Hastings.
I really look up to my little brother, my older brother Jamie.
No, it's like more like, hello, I'm Jamie's sister. You know, and like
proper geezer. Like
I'm Jamie's sister, Freddie McManus.
And it's all
Freddie
like,
McManus is Jamie's sister.
And it's all about like a growing up thing because like my mum and dad's English accents remain.
Right.
Like my mum's got kind of she's got more of a Cockney sounding, and my dad's got more of a posh sounding accent because he's done like business stuff, even though he did not grow up posh at all.
Where did they
grow
up?
And so then when he meets, they both grew up like around London, but so right. Now my dad, I think I've told this story before on the pod, but like my dad will change his voice based on who he's speaking to. So when he's on the
phone, it's like that thing in The Wolf of Wall Street where he picks up the phone. Hello.
Oh well, yeah, kind of like to me, he'd be like. My go-to impression of my dad starts with a sigh. James, could you please stop doing that? But like when he's with his mate, she's like, all right.
That's hilarious.
So like one time, me and my mate Geordie met up in England and we went to see my dad who was having beers with his English friends who like stayed in that area in England. And so like some of them are like missing front teeth and stuff. And they're like
proper geezers.
Yeah, so we're sitting down with them and man, it's one of the hardest times I've ever laughed when they're like, all right, who wants beers? And they were like, you want beer? You want beer? You want beer? My dad goes, glass of rosé, please. And it just went silent for about 10 seconds.
It sounds like a plot line from one of these episodes.
Yeah. But like he can do both. So yeah, to sum up, like the British accent was probably mostly lost before I moved here anyway because I was part of an international school.
Yeah.
Like, it was a British school, but it was truly, like every fucking nationality.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, it wasn't American. It was kind of like a hybrid. Because Dutch accent doesn't come into play at all, which is, people get very confused, especially in Australia, when I say, like, from England, lived in Holland. They cannot reconcile the because the two countries are an hour by plane.
Mm.
Yeah.
But they cannot reconcile because Australia is this huge fucking island.
Yeah.
They cannot reconcile that I've lived in two countries but I'm still just English, really.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's not that big a deal. That's the equivalent of me moving to Newcastle.
Because well, Brexit means Brexit, mate.
Yeah. So a lot of people like...
It's not part of it.
Yeah, you're just a British guy living in Holland.
Well, yeah, so a lot of people like, you're a Dutchland, you're Dutch, you speak Dutch, and you're like, well, like, I did speak Dutch because like we learned it there and you do it. But like everyone in fucking Holland speaks English.
Yeah.
Like, especially in like the suburbs and cities where I grew up, like most of the time, if you try to speak Dutch to practice, they'll be like, and they'll just talk
don't
to you in
bother.
English
yeah.
because they want to like talk in English and whatever. So you kind of lose it. So when I came here, I wasn't really like an English rose, being like, "Oh, none of that for me, thank you. It's time for a spot of tea." Like,
but I was also thinking, based on your question, is like by the time you were kind of the age that you could be like. Trying to pick up girls and whatnot, you probably just sounded Australian, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did it occur to you to play it up?
Well, this is where the question.
I tried it.
That
rocks. Fucking loser.
This is where the question takes flight because, like, in a way, like, yes, yeah. I have used I being so. British to get pussy.
Yes,
as you finally so succinctly
we get to
put it.
We get to the heart of the matter,
but not in a way where, like, I'm going to Australian women and being like, "All right, my name's Jamie."
How about rather than telling me what it was, and how about you regale me with what it is?
Yeah, well, fuck off. I'm getting it. It's cold.
I've got a story to piggyback off this.
So, like, it's less like using an accent and people being like, "He's a charming, debonair, James Bond type." You know, it's more like you use being British. Get pussy in Australia
yes.
by having sex with people from England. Like, it's a fucking ace in the hole. Like,
yeah.
Jamie you know Kirk, life hack.
Yeah.
So when
I mean, sorry. But, like, you do, like, you meet, like, a lot of British women on Tinder because they're all there for,
hey,
like,
we've all,
2 years. And
they've all hung out at Scary Canary.
Yeah, and yes. So, like,
or
when
Starbar,
you...
Or Starbar, or Scuba, you, or all three in one night.
Yeah, when you fucking drop, like, a tiny bit of local knowledge or, like... You know, passing familiarity with English Premier League, like, not, I'm not saying that, like, that's a panty dropper, but it leads to avenues of conversation where people are like, "Oh, I didn't know you were British." And
yeah.
then, like, it leads to, like, the moving to Holland. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
they just start hearing "God Save the Queen" in their head.
But I mean, like, that's also, like, the whole point is not, like, just, like, doing the British thing, but, like, by way of moving from England to Holland to here. You do seem like you grew up not, I don't want to say more culture because that's such a wanky thing to say, but you've had an interesting life.
You seem more worldly.
Yeah, I didn't fucking grow up in Kellyville and move to Marrickville. You
yeah.
know? Like,
how dare you? You got to change the suburb name. Well, like, but how dare you?
You grew up in Ingerdeen and moved to Redfern.
We're talking about that.
But I mean, like, also, I fucking did. I grew up in Kellyville and I moved to Marrickville.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. but like, once that conversation unlocks, like, you're actually British, and it's like, "Oh, yeah, but I only lived there for 7 years. And then they're like, "Wait, but you said you arrived here when you were 13. Where's that other missing 6 years?" Then you drop a little Holland on them. Then all of a sudden, you're a fucking irresistible world traveler. You know?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll piggyback off that.
Yeah.
I, at the age of 18.
Yeah, play.
Somebody, like, it was like a thing on a dare of like, "Oh, you're good at accents. Like, go and talk to that girl and pretend like you're English and see if it works." Like, because I think, like, people knew about, like, plot lines like this where it's like, "Oh, try and be English."
Yeah, we've all seen
movies. And it'd work or whatever. So I tried it. And for some reason in my head, I also decided to change my name.
Yeah.
Like, to really get into this
new
character.
My name's Rosemary.
Yeah, it's like, for some reason, it's like, I think we know why.
I also decided to put on women's clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I went with Tom. But then, like, I started. I was 18.
So was it like Reese, go hit on that girl and pretend to be English? You went over. It's like, "Welcome to the Bouquet Residence."
isn't it
Bucket cosplay?
Yeah, isn't it Bucket?
My friends think
I love giving appearances.
Yeah, very
really,
funny.
I just want to talk, but I talked. I was 18. This woman was something like 35 or 36 or something like that, and I got talking to her, and then we like hit it off. So then I just had to spend the whole night around her talking in this fake British accent and pretending my name was Tom. I ended up walking her home.
That's like some, like, Greek mythology shit with that moral. It's like, man, if you just spoken to her in your normal accent.
Absolutely. Like, I felt so annoyed.
Did you have sex with the person?
No, I never did.
Damn.
We didn't even make out.
I got to piss quickly. keep talking about the episode. It's I liked it.
I got notes.
You had other notes.
Yeah,
let's
get
into those.
Where's Hastings' phone? Oh, man. Where did I put it? Hastings, come on.
Was it in your butt? You fucking idiot.
Hold on, I found it. It was in my butt. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
If it went longer...
If the entire series went longer.
Yeah, if the show went longer, do you think it would have found its voice? The show only went for one and a bit seasons.
I feel like...
Like, Friends wasn't good until, you know, a bit way through the second season, I think.
I feel like this question has come up before.
Yeah, but now it's finished. Now it's time to look back, reflect.
I don't think it would have.
Okay.
Like, it's just that it's such a kind of like... There's very little continuity. It's such a just kind of episode by episode thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it would have just kept... They would have just tried to be gross as much as possible. Like,
I think if you asked me early in the second season, I said that it was maybe had a chance of going somewhere. But the way that they end, like, to the very bitter end, they just didn't know... That I saw no evidence that they would have ever figured out what to do with status quo.
Yeah.
Like, there's no evidence to say that. I think they would have just fumbled around with it forever.
Yeah. My take on this, I assume we're asking, do we think it would get good? Because we said earlier that it might, and then we kind of took it back.
Yeah.
My theory now, ultimately, is unfortunately, I don't think this show would have gotten good.
No.
However, I do think that this show could have been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And... In order to do so, they would have needed to majorly retool it. And this last episode almost seems like what they want the show to start out as. Like, just focusing on Mike and Ewan and then Chow. Like, I know, like, at this point it's got no POCs and no women in it, but, like, at least...
Chow's a POC.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
He's just cool, so you don't count it.
at least Stan...
Yeah, the famous stereotype that black people are very cool.
No. Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, he's got like a frat bro energy, which is like a white guy.
But like, yeah, to me, it seems like if they hypothetically got renewed for a miraculous season 3, I think Liz would probably be gone from the show.
Yep.
Yeah, because Lawrence DeMille probably would have left.
Yeah, no, like how it happens doesn't matter to me. I think they would have introduced a character that, I think they would have introduced two new female characters, one who could be like a more sarcastic, like you guys are idiots kind of person, and one potentially a love interest for one of the main characters, because that's just how fucking sitcoms work. The other,
they bring in one who is just a guy.
Yeah. Or, and then, like, status quo...
I think they should have brought in, like, sort of like a talking, sort of like a genie or something.
Yeah.
They should have brought in a supernatural element.
Status quo...
Osmodia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Status quo gets busted down. Like, status quo, I think, finds his contract renewal. He gets busted down to a recurring player and very silently gets written off the show.
Yeah.
Like Liz.
Oh, man. They would do it in such a bad way, though. It'd be like he got shot in a drive-by or something.
Yeah.
A drive-by outside the Tiffany store.
Yeah. But that will happen. The ultimate disrespect will be things. That will be off screen. No, he'll be like cleaning up his dog's poo.
Yeah.
And he'll be throwing it in the bin and he'll get shot. Liz will at least have an episode that's called Goodbye, Liz.
Right.
Where she leaves and like there's a completely unearned scene where she tells Mike that he's all right.
Yeah.
And Mike is like, I'll miss you.
I hope you find someone, Mikey.
Yeah. Status quo gets fucking... Status quo just gets murdered, like, as a joke by, like, Chow being like, can you believe Status got shot by Tech Nine?
Yeah. Mm. Tech Nine, great rapper. Yeah.
So, I had something. I don't think we should do the writer's room for this episode because I think...
We already kind of have to.
Yeah.
I've got one pitch.
It's that we cancel the show.
Yeah, I think my pitch is for the finale.
Mm.
Keep in mind this came out in 2002.
Mm.
I would have a reveal at the very end of the last episode that it was
set... I feel like I
know
where this is going.
A little earlier. And they all the characters die in...
A plane crash.
A terrorist attack on September 11th.
So it's Remember Me with Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's that, but sitcom style.
Have you seen how insane that movie is?
No, I know
Have
what it is.
So it's like it's a romantic comedy with Robert Pattinson. And but like a
romantic comedy.
Well, a romantic comedy drama,
like a chick flicky kind of thing.
Yeah. And right. So like
it's just like a romance.
The whole movie doesn't even fucking mention when it's set, 9/11, whatever. Like, so it's just this thing about Rob Pattinson and this girl like falling in love and circumstances getting away. And the last thing is Rob Pattinson goes into work and it's 9/11.
Oh God. Okay. The question I was going to ask though is like. However, the move to Thursday did not help the lowly rated show, and it was cancelled 7 episodes into the second season, leaving 2 episodes, Scary Sitcom and Chow's Hard Iced Tea on film. What do you think those episodes were about based on title alone?
Say the names of the episodes again.
Scary Sitcom and Chow's Hard Iced Tea.
I have a theory. Yes. About Scary Sitcom specifically.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be the Halloween episode?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I thought. And that the cold open was for Scary Sitcom.
Yes.
And they thought it was funny enough to bring it forward.
Yes.
Like, I think Scary Sitcom would have been a whole episode done at a Halloween party. Also, yeah.
Maybe like a Treehouse of Horror thing.
I completely agree.
Like, I know we're talking about the show being bad and it deserved to be cancelled, but like, moving it to fucking Thursday, that's like Friends.
Yeah.
The shows it's going up against.
Oh, so it was on Sunday in its first season.
Yeah, which at least like it has like the Simpsons and stuff as a lead in.
Mm.
Whereas like this is like you're going up against the most popular sitcoms on NBC at the time.
Yeah, that's damning it more so as opposed to helping it.
Mm. Yeah, man. Some things are set up to fail.
It's like I think what they were doing is like we're going to set up like a fucking ultimate must-see TV where it's like, hey, this is like... Like, Friends is about young people, but, like, these guys are out of touch. This is what... Young people actually like to talk about foreskins and poos and stuff. So we're putting it up against it and then just watch Friends squash
those
it.
Two put together.
Yeah, foreskin poos. And then they just watch Chandler Bing crush it under his loafers.
just getting dunked on by Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Night after night after night.
Could you be any more cancelled?
Just do it. It's like, I should have a mental image of Matt LeBlanc doing, like, overhead dunks. On
David Schwimmer on the mini tram.
Flips and shit.
I'm so far behind where you are right now. This is the moments I hate myself where I just laugh so hard at foreskin and poos.
So that my idea for Scary Sitcom is it's that exact thing. Chow's in his leather daddy outfit. We get a couple of laughs out of that one.
Yeah. Like it would again be the whole thing with like the constant obsession with Chow and homophobia with him being like, why are all these dudes like paying attention to me?
Scary Sitcom implies that they're at least doing like a twist. So that, you know, like it's got horror movie trappies, so the power
has
probably
the word sitcom in the title. It implies a level of self-awareness.
Yeah, and so at one point the power...
Occasionally there is a small amount of self-awareness.
I'd say the power at some point goes out and everything gets dark.
Yes, and then I like it when some that happens. Sort of assault is committed that's not painted as that.
Yeah, I like it when the power the goes out.
Who
that's
groped Ewan's penis or something?
Oh, it'd be like who groped so-and-so's tits and...
It would be Ewan's penis.
It'll be Ewan going around going, who was that woman I groped?
But oh, yeah, and it's Chow.
That's a strong possibility. My guess was going to be that, like, because this show so frequently gets it wrong and is very problematic, it'd be that the lights went out and it'd be like, who grabbed my tits? And then it would turn into, like, a fake kind of, like, murder mystery thing where, like, someone's playing the detective and, like, interrogating everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you make it like an Agatha Christie novel.
It's so sick that we have a sitcom where we basically write fiction, like, fan fiction for a 20-year-old sitcom. That's so
that we don't like.
Yeah, that we hate. That's so tight that we do that.
I wouldn't say I hate
30
it.
In a week.
I hate it. I'd say I've come to appreciate the misses.
No,
oh,
you've got Stockholm Syndrome. It's abusive. It's an abusive relationship.
Can I also say that you might know this show, one that I completely forgot to read in the list. A little sitcom by Judd Apatow called Undeclared premiered.
I've never watched that, but I'm interested.
Oh, man, it's so good. I've got it on DVD. Do it for the show, but I think it's Region 1.
And like, we've also had a lot of kickback about our potential plans from here on out.
Yeah, so we are actually doing How I Met Your Mother season 9.
I mean, I want to. But also, we did say we wouldn't do it if people asked us not to.
And people have asked
People have also asked me not to,
of people have asked me to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's swaying me the other way, James.
I can think of only one who has been in support of it. So I think maybe we don't do it.
I know three people that have been in support of the idea.
Andrew Hastings, Jamie Kirk, Rose Pyopa.
I know six people.
Oh, dear.
And that's like 20% of our list.
We're probably running out of time. Yeah. My suggestion for Chow's hard iced tea was just going to be that Chow has erection problems.
Cured by iced tea from the Vietnamese restaurant.
Hold on a minute. Hard iced tea is an actual drink.
Yeah, it's like alcohol.
It's alcoholic iced tea.
It's like hard lemonade or whatever.
Yeah, I assume it's like Chow doing a home brew. But like yeah. Also, but like then you make it But then you make it like the mango in Seinfeld where it gets it could be like the like juiced up.
I was going to say it could be like kind of like Flaming Moe's kind of ripoff where he makes this special drink and then like Mike gets rich off it
or the sexual inadequacy tonic. Like Mike is suddenly a ladies' man.
Yeah. What other Simpsons episodes could it be? It could be
22 short films about off-center.
Yeah.
Just Cape Fear.
Yeah.
So funny the episode.
Rosebud.
Yeah.
Fuck, maybe we should do The Simpsons season 30.
Shout out to The Simpsons Index fans. All right. Friends of the pod.
All right.
Well, fans and friends of the pod.
Any final thoughts about off-center? Like, we did it. We came to the very end. This was one that Rose, in particular, and me were very excited to do when we first came up with the podcast and we're first talking about it at the Tudor at an open mic, being like, one day we'll get around to off-center.
This is very true.
Can I say...
And now we've done it.
Yeah, if it wasn't clear to the listener... this one wasn't my idea. This one, I was the passenger on this
I've
one.
Been told by a couple of people that the off-center episodes are some of our best because we engage with it and the writer's room is a fun idea.
Yeah, this is the most attention we've ever paid to the subject matter.
Yeah, I think it's so important to pay attention to the subject matter. And by the way, the subject matter is what I call the clitoris.
Oh, dear.
You should have saved that for the next step.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a good one.
Can I say final thoughts followed by a letter grade overall?
Okay. I hated it. Like, I think I hated it more too because, like, I had forgotten. Like, I probably watched every episode of this, at least every episode of the first season, back when it was on the Comedy Channel. Like, and I
liked it.
I barely remembered any of it, but I remember liking it. And it's now, like, ruined it for me. It's ruined the memory of it. Because, like,
this podcast rules. it ruins everything.
Yeah, talking to my sister about this, she's just like, how is it? And I'm like, it's fucking terrible. Like, don't watch it. And, although she'd probably watch it and be like, I don't see what the problem is. But, it was so bad. I hated it. Letter grade. I hesitate to say F because that would say that was like the worst thing in the world, but I'll give it like a... I'll give it an E.
Yeah.
And I need
just making up her own
rare grade.
Yeah, and I need an E after this.
Yeah,
Rose
has given me
happiness.
A few E's over the years. I'm going to give it somewhere between a C minus and a D plus, somewhere in that field. You know,
I am also going to give it a C minus because conceptually...
You know, I'll give it a D minus because I feel like E isn't allowed.
Well, because conceptually, like, the idea is fine.
D minus is what happens after I come.
The cast is good. Like, they've all... Like, apart from Eddie K. Thomas, they've all gone on to various things, like... You know, they've all been good. Like, Jason George is on fucking... he was on Grey's Anatomy and now, like, is one of the leads in Chicago Fire.
Well, Lawrence DeMille is on Grey's Anatomy as well.
Yeah, and, like, John...
He's probably the most successful.
No, John Cho. John Cho's a legit movie star now. And he's doing Cowboy Bebop.
She's probably the second most, like...
I mean, like, Sean Maguire, Jason George, and Lawrence DeMille have all gone on to good careers in television. Eddie K. Thomas will forever be Finch.
Yep.
Chris Weitz and Paul Weitz, the creators of this show, will go on to write about a boy and then do like other stuff. They'll be fine.
Everyone will be fine. Everyone, no need to worry about the cast.
And what happened to Andrew Hastings?
But I'm so worried.
What happened to Andrew Hastings 20 years after this
show? Yeah, what happened to Andrew Hastings 20 years after this show finished? That's what I want to know.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
I can't wait.
It just plays Louie Louie.
Oh man. Alright, anyone got anything to plug?
Yeah, I do. I got a podcast.
Please.
It's called We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All. We're about to do the entire season 9. I mean, I've got a new podcast called Community Notice Board where we interview people about where they grew up. It's fun.
It's good. listen to it. I've enjoyed the two episodes I've heard so far. I am at Rosales Fiber on Twitter and Instagram. I just changed my name on my Facebook page. It's now Rosie Piper. Everyone calls me out. I'm rebranding. Marketing will probably be out about this. I'm doing the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah,
you should watch that. I'm doing it with a friend of the show, Beck Charwood. I think we film it on Saturday the 26th. I think it goes out on their YouTube on the 27th. There is a possibility that people may be able to attend. They've been doing them with no crowd.
Ticket for Hastings, I think.
What's this?
Oh, no, that's a different show.
That's a different show. That's supposed to be this coming Saturday, and I have heard nothing about it, so I don't know what's going on there.
Something for Hastings.
Hastings birthday drinks instead.
Oh, fuck, it is your birthday drinks this week. I knew I forgot something.
Yes.
Yeah, Hastings birthday drinks. I'll plug that as well.
Come to Hastings birthday drinks.
Do not come to Hastings birthday drinks. There are venue limits.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, but
happy birthday to me.
But yeah, it's not confirmed, but there is the possibility that there may be 100 tickets available for the Opera House thing. So,
oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that would be fucking great because they've previously done it with no one, and it's just played to the tech staff, and it sounds like that's a bit weird, but that could be fun. And Beck Charwood is very funny.
Do you have a question about my birthday, Jamie?
When was it?
Hang on, I'm still plugging things.
Until the 14th.
Follows, we'll just tell your mother we ate it all on Facebook. We ate it all on Twitter. We ate it all podcast on Instagram. And when does this episode come out?
Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can plug.
Someone's knocking on the door?
No, it's just the wind.
Okay. Hastings, anything?
I'm just doing gigs and spots and things like that. Two that I'm particularly excited about is I'm doing Chomsky Comedy, which is a new room. It's just fun.
Great, run
by mates of ours. I just want this room to do well. It's so far been crushing it. Come down. Chipper Hotel in Chippendale on the 17th of September. And I'm hosting a Sneaky Possum in Chippendale on the 21st of September.
Oh, yeah. I'll be at Sneaky Possum on the 14th.
Me too.
Okay, cool.
I was offered to host that, but I turned it down to have my birthday.
And
hang alert,
I'll
hang
be.
Alert, hang alert! I believe friend of the pod Andrew Bensley is also on.
Oh, fun! And I'm also hosting the second ladies' night at Riot House at the Iron Duke on the 15th of September. If you want to come down to that,
they should call it the Iron Duchess.
Yeah,
I did a cheeky little draw. Oh, that's a good point.
You should say that on stage.
I will. I'm not even kidding.
You can have that, but then you have to credit Andrew Hastings.
Yeah, make sure you credit Andrew Hastings, not Jamie Kerr.
Just if you enjoyed that joke, just need to know, you know, that it was written by a man.
The man, some say.
Thank you for calling me a man.
But I did a cheeky little drop-in at the first one, and it was like real full and real fun. So I don't know. Great. Come if that, if you want.
Everyone, have safe sex and watch Off Center responsibly. To the next step.
To the next step. Rose, you're the Hastings this episode.
Fuck, that's good.
Oh, and then I fucked her. Oh, God.